Wow. Did you know Carl made his own videos? It's absolutely awesome, isn't it? Has anyone got the drugs that Carl's taking? Because I'd like them. How are we this evening? I can't even see you, but I'm sure you're looking good. I can see this side, so I'll talk to you. How are we doing? So we're going to talk about improving our relationship with God tonight. And the key to that is very simple. And we're just going to try and reveal a bit of that to you tonight. Stacey and I are going to come and speak to you for about 3 hours. No, about 20 minutes. So, you know, have you ever heard that saying, it's not what you know, but who you know? Ever heard that? Don't think it's in the Bible, is it? But it should be, because it's true. It's true. You know, Stacey and I became Christians 8 years ago. And when we first met, we didn't know Jesus. We didn't have a relationship with God at all. And we were a mess because of it. We'd come from families that were broken. Families that, in my case, a father who rejected me. And, you know, we were broken for a number of different reasons. But when we met God, he put us back together again. And, you know, I'm so thankful to God for doing that for me. And we're going to tell you a bit about that tonight. You know, the only real way to make life work is to have a relationship with God. And that's why it's the first talk in our series. You know, if you don't have a relationship with God yet, I want to encourage you. You can have one tonight if you want to. We're going to give you an opportunity to come to faith in Jesus and have your own relationship with God. But it's your choice, you see. It's not something that anyone else can do for you. It's to do with you and God. But I want to encourage you to have a relationship with God. You know, Stacey's going to come up in a sec and tell us why it's good to have a relationship with God. What has God ever done for us? Well, Stacey's going to come and share that in a sec. You know, why should we have a relationship with God? Well, it's because he created us. You know that you and I are created by God. And do you know why he created us? Why on earth would God create us? Well, the reason is because he wants an eternal relationship with us. He wants to know you personally. Even though he's the creator of the universe, he's very, very interested in you and me. I don't know about you, but I think that's awesome. God is interested in you and me. And you see, the problem is sin, the bad things that we do and the bad things that people do to us, broke that relationship. The first people who ever lived, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God and broke the relationship between themselves and God. And ever since, God has been trying to get that relationship back with us. And Jesus came in order to re-establish that relationship with us. You can have a relationship with God tonight if you want it. Stacey, should we give Stacey a round of applause?
Hello. So when I was growing up, I had real difficulty with relationships. I had massive issues around trust, around anger. Keeping relationships for me was very hard. I found it very difficult. It was very tiring for me. When I was very young, when I was about 6, my parents divorced, and while I was young, I was sexually abused, and that had a massive impact on my life, real massive impact. I started drinking at quite a young age. I didn't know God. I wasn't from a Christian family, and for me, drink was kind of where I went because I didn't know where else to turn. And during my school years, I was bullied and had lots of nasty, awful things done to me. And bit by bit, I was building up barriers between me and people because I couldn't cope with that. And I had a good front. If you met me, you would think, oh yeah, she's got it all together. She's quite happy. I was always the joker. I was always the one making the jokes. But inside, I was very different to how I portrayed myself outside. I moved to London and moving to London, I thought, right, a new start, new place, things are going to be different. It wasn't different at all. I started drinking more. I started going out more. And I know now that God had a hand on my life even then, because I put myself in lots of dangerous situations and I was never harmed. I was always safe. I moved back to Middlesbrough eventually because living in London just didn't work for me. And moved back here and started working at the university. And I started working with this guy called Tom Gibbons. And, you know, he was charming, handsome, kind. He made me laugh until my face ached. And so we started seeing each other. And not long after we started seeing each other, we went to a Christian event. And we both decided at this event we wanted to become Christians. Like Tim was saying earlier, you know, while we were there, we were thinking, these people are so happy. What have they got? What have they got that we don't have? I want that. I want that for myself. And when the call came and said, do you want to give your life? We didn't even, we just both got up together, held hands and walked to the front. And it was the best thing that I ever did. Best thing I ever did in my life, because up until that point, I'd been, I think I was 28. I'd been trying to fix things on my own. And it was only when I became a Christian and I realized you can't fix it. It's not going to go away. And so I started my journey then of forgiveness. And I went to my first Christian conference and I had a real encounter with God there. And I really, I went through a lot of heart healing and forgiveness. And we had a quiet time of spending time with God. And there were people from the local church that were there supporting us. And they were going around praying for people. And so I was just there and I felt two hands on my shoulders, one on each shoulder. And then after about 5 or 10 minutes, I started to think, this is quite a long time to pray for somebody. So I opened my eyes. And as I opened my eyes, there's no one there. But I felt the heat on my shoulders. I felt those hands on my shoulders. And for me, that was how I knew God was real. I felt those hands. And I'll never forget that, because that just cemented my relationship. My faith was already there. But I felt that was God saying to me, I'm here. I'm here for you. I love you. I want to be with you and spend my life with you. And so I've been on a journey. You know, I've been... God has got me to the point now where I've forgiven the people who abused me. I've forgiven everybody around that situation. And you know, it's the most amazing feeling in the world, because I don't know if you've ever seen the show The Biggest Loser. Some of you may have, some of you may not. What happens is they go on there, these contestants, and they lose all this weight. And then towards the end, what happens is they wear backpacks. And for me, that's what my daily life was like, having that weight on my shoulders. Coming into a relationship with God, the chains had fell off. All the weight I was carrying fell off. I was free. I was able to have proper relationships with people, proper interactions with people. I could love people and trust people and let them into my heart. And yeah, it's just a massive sense of freedom, very liberating, and yeah, thank you.
Wow, so just checking, you knew that was me, right? She's talking about, you know, the charming one. Anyway, so why have a relationship with God? I mean, Stacey met God for real, you know, and God is in our lives now. And it's a real thing, you know, this. You know, sometimes you think our spiritual is just all out there and wacky. But now, you know, you can have a real relationship with God that can be tangible. You can feel the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I felt the presence of God in that worship tonight. The power of the Holy Spirit. You know, have you ever heard that saying, oh, God knows? People say, God knows. That's because he does. It's not rocket science. I don't need to go to university to tell you that. He actually knows everything. God knows everything about your life. He knows everything about Stacy's life. He knows everything about Tim's life. God wants to tell you that he knows you tonight. He's not miles away from you. He's right here in this room. And he wants you to turn to him. You know, all of us need a relationship with God. For me, I was very insecure, very lacking confidence, very full of fear when I was growing up. And the reason was because I was from a broken home. I didn't have a dad who was around. I was brought up as my mum's only son. And I felt a bit rejected and a bit sorry for myself and a bit angry. And that meant that I was really full of fear with doing anything like this. Like speaking in public was my absolute worst nightmare. Absolute worst. I remember I was at school once doing my GCSE in English literature. And as part of that, they would make you read a little bit of a book around the class. And we had this horrible teacher called Mr. Steinson. And I've forgiven him now, but he was horrible. He was a Scottish guy, and he didn't like me. I don't know why, but he just didn't. And quite often, he used to get me to stand up in front of everyone and read this story. And he knew I hated it. He knew it made me nervous. You know, so I'd be sitting at my desk, and he'd say, Tom, your turn. And I'd have to get my book, and I'd drop it, and then pick it up again, and then find the page. And I could barely read it because I was full of fear. But God had a plan for me, a different plan for me. God has a plan for you as well. See, part of God's plan for me is to do this, to speak to you, not being full of fear. But God has a plan for each of us. He's a plan for you and a plan for me to do amazing things for him. You know, the Bible says that God chose the weak things of the world in order to shame the strong. I wonder if you're feeling weak tonight. It says also God used the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. You know, God's not interested in how much knowledge you have. Christianity isn't about getting lots of knowledge. That's not the point of reading the Bible. The point of reading the Bible is to meet God and to develop a relationship with him. That's the point. This is a love letter from God for you and I. And I wonder what plan God has for your life tonight. I wonder what he's got in store for you next. You know, you can look down history and see that there are many famous Christians, actually, who've done amazing things for God. One man is a man called William Wilberforce. He was involved in the abolition of slavery. It took him about 40 years in order to get slavery abolished, but he kept going and he kept going. And then a couple of months after he'd achieved that in the Act of Parliament was passed, he died because he'd done what God wanted him to do. But that thing that he did changed the course of history, didn't it? Changed the course of history, and maybe you're called to do something specific like that. So how can we do it? How can we have a relationship with God? Well, it's only through faith in Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, meaning God, except through me. You know, neither religious leader or teacher anywhere in the world has ever claimed anything like that. Jesus is the truth and the life. You know, when I first became a Christian, I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't have a clue. I was lost, and I remained lost for a little while until I had an encounter with God for myself, until God healed me. God healed me from a physical problem that I had, and God began to heal my heart as well, so I could go and forgive my father, my earthly dad, and have a relationship with him. He was up here in this church just the other week. You know, God wants to sort us out I don't know if you feel sometimes that you're a bit lost, you're a bit weak, you're a bit maybe not how you're meant to be. Well, that's maybe because you're not walking in God's plan for your life. Maybe you're not following Jesus. You see, Jesus wants everyone to follow him. He wants everyone to be seeking him. You know, we've talked about why develop a relationship with God. How can we have a relationship with God through Jesus? But how do we grow that? So if you've come to Jesus, that's awesome. But how do you develop that relationship? Well, there's a few things. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The answer is to remain in Jesus. Remain close to Jesus, remain focused upon Jesus. There's a few ways of doing that. The first is to come to faith in him and then to ask for the Holy Spirit. You know, I wasn't really keen on asking the Holy Spirit to come into my life because I didn't understand what it was all about. The Holy Spirit, though, is like our spiritual sat-nav. You know, before me and Stacey got a sat-nav, it wasn't very pretty in the car on journeys. You know, we used to try and map read one of us. I would drive usually, and Stacey would try and map read. And it always led to arguments because we got lost. But you know, when we got a sat-nav, it was awesome because we could put in the destination and know where we were going, and then we could follow that. And you know, we could choose to go off route, could choose to go a different way, thinking, oh, I know better. But actually, the sat-nav would always bring us back if we went the wrong way, and it would take us to where we need to go. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is the way that you can develop a relationship with God, because the Holy Spirit is the person who guides that relationship. You know, the final destination, if you're a Christian, isn't death, it's eternal life. I wonder if you know whether you have eternal life tonight. I wonder if you have the spiritual sat-nav set to heaven tonight. The truth is, if you don't, there's another place that you are heading. And unfortunately, it isn't heaven. It's the other place called hell. I wonder if you want this relationship that will get you to heaven tonight. You know, when it says be filled with the Holy Spirit in the Bible, it means keep being filled. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time, and maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. Maybe you need to come back to God and be filled. You know, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit as many times as you want. As many times as you want. Whenever possible is what the Bible says. You know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then that enables you to speak to God and to hear what God has to say to you. You know, praying is 50% speaking and 50% listening. I didn't realize that until fairly recently, to be honest. You know, it's not about just going and praying and praying and asking and asking and asking. No, it's about listening to God's plan for your life, listening to the sat-nav. You know, you can mute the woman on the sat-nav, can't you? And then not hear her. You can do the same with God if you don't allow him to speak to you, if you don't allow him to talk to you. You know, God wants you to talk to him, wants us to speak to him. My daughter Georgia is 6 years old, going on about 36, and she's a very confident young girl. She's absolutely amazing, and she remembers loads of stuff. So she goes to school and she comes back and she tells us loads of stuff, you know. And the other day she came back after studying history, and she had these questions for me. And let me tell you what these questions were. She said, Daddy, did you live in the 15th century? I said, no. She said, Daddy, did you live in a cave? I said, no, I'm not a caveman. And she said, were you a Viking? And I said, no, you might think that because of my hair, but I'm not actually a Viking. And then she said, what was it like before the telephone was invented? It's hilarious. But You know, the truth is, God wants us to ask him anything, just like any good dad. He wants us to ask him, no matter how silly it is, no matter how small it is, God is interested in what we have to say. He wants you to speak to him, and he also wants to speak to you. You know, when I've prayed, I've been a Christian 8 years, and when I've prayed, I've seen things happen. I've seen miracles happen. Let me tell you about a couple of those miracles. I've seen two people who were told that they couldn't have children have two very healthy children. Two people who were trying to have children for 10 long years, and they were told that they had 1 in 300,000 chance of having a healthy baby. They had two healthy children just because of prayer. I wasn't the only one praying. There was other people praying as well. You see, when these two people had tried to have children, they'd had pregnancies and then they'd had these children, but sadly they'd died when just shortly after they were born. They had this rare disease where their chest didn't form. My friend Kevin said it was the best and the worst day of his life. Can you imagine? The best day because your child is born, but the worst day because they die shortly after. That Kevin had two children after that because of prayer. He had the faith to keep going and seeking God, and through it has two very healthy, happy little boys. Miraculous. You know, when I first became a Christian, that's one of the things I prayed for, and I saw it happen, and I thought, that's a coincidence. I was praying for that. But you know, the more and the longer you're a Christian, the more coincidences happen. The more you see what you've prayed for actually happen. My friend Robert has a little girl called Zion. And Zion is now 12 years old. But when she was 2 years old, she had a type of cancer. What's that type of cancer that goes all through your blood? And leukemia, thanks. She had that. And it developed so much that she lost all of her hair and she got a cannula put in her heart because all her veins were used for putting the drugs in. But we prayed for her. I would say these little prayers, I remember, I'd only been a Christian 5 minutes, but I would say these little prayers of Zion on the night. I would go to bed and I would say, Lord, please heal Zion in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it. Did that for a while. Stacey did it as well. And after doing that for a couple of weeks, we got a phone call from Rob, and he said, do you know Zion's starting to get better? This girl had stage 4 cancer, which is the most advanced form of cancer, isn't it? And she made a full recovery because people were praying for her. I choose to believe that isn't a coincidence. That's impossible. It's not a coincidence. And finally, my father-in-law, Stacey's dad, Mac Malcolm, he became a Christian a couple of years ago. And, he's in his 60s now. But he smoked from the age of 13 right up to his 60s. A long time smoking, you know, a very, very long time. Can't do the maths, but it's a long time. All right, and our daughter Georgia just saw a picture in a book of what happens to people's lungs when they smoke. She saw that they go all black and damaged, and she decided, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for that. So she prayed, and she prayed every night for 2 weeks. She's only 6. She was only 5 then. She prayed every night for 2 weeks, and then one day after 2 weeks, Granddad Mac comes in. And he says to us, I've stopped smoking. And we said, oh, that's interesting. Because he said that before, you see. We thought, all right, okay. But then he said, no, it's different this time because I don't have the urge to smoke anymore. I mean, this guy had been smoking for nearly 50 years. And that was a year ago, that. And he hasn't smoked since. Isn't that amazing? Isn't God good? God answers our prayers. And finally, God speaks to us as well, and the main way he speaks is through the Bible. You know, as I said, there's no point in reading the Bible for any other reason than to meet God for yourself. You know, if you read the Bible and you're full of the Holy Spirit, then you will be able to hear God. I challenge you. Ask Jesus to come into your life, be filled with the Holy Spirit, repent of your sins, say sorry to God for not living your life with him, and start to read the Bible, and you'll hear God speaking to you. My son, Nathaniel, was having seizures a couple of months ago, quite regularly. He had quite a few seizures in a short space of time, and we were really worried about him, you know. And the church, he had decided to get together on a day and pray for Nathaniel and fast, which means don't eat for that day. And they were praying for Nathaniel for an hour in here. We put a picture of him up here and we prayed for him. And lots of people in the church prayed for him. And you know, the day that we did that, I remember on the morning reading my Bible, because I read a little bit of it every day. You know, some days I don't, but often I try to read the Bible, you know, a little bit every day. Don't worry, it's just Holy Spirit, that. I remember this one day when we were praying for Nathaniel to stop having these seizures that he was having. I read in Matthew's Gospel, I read about when Jesus heals the sick. I read this verse, let me read it to you. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures. So I felt that was God speaking to me. And Nathaniel hasn't had a seizure since that time. God is speaking to us every day, you know. And one of the main ways he does it, he can do it in a few different ways, but one of the main ways is through the Bible. But you know, if you read the Bible without knowing Jesus, the truth is it'll just be some other book. It'll just be an ancient book that you try and understand. Maybe you do a degree in theology to try and understand it, and you never will because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want to give you an opportunity tonight, right now, to come to faith in Jesus. I want to say a prayer. You know, I want to encourage any one of you in here who doesn't know God yet to make a step of faith in order to do that. So should we close our eyes? And you can bow your head if you want, but someone once told me that God's up, not down, so you don't have to do that. So Father God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that if anyone is in here right now who doesn't know you yet, that they say this prayer in their hearts. I just want to encourage you to say this prayer in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to change my life. I want you to come into my life right now. I want to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Please set your spiritual sat-nav in me, Lord Jesus, and enable me to follow you all the days of my life and into eternity. Amen. That's it. Thank you.